possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
The 1-1. And that one is looped toward the left field corner. This one's got a shot, and it is gone! Adolis Garcia with a home run down the left field line. For Adolis, it's his 15th of the year. He gives Texas a 4-1 lead.
That's one of the names I thought the Rangers may toy around with moving. Good morning, Metroplex. The strobes are working from Ruben P. We are live in Oxnard, California on the tennis courts here on your home for Texas Rangers baseball. And, of course, our coverage out here is brought to you in part by the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. They finally get one against the Angels because of Nate Dogg. Nate Eovaldi shutting it down. Just like he did everyone in the entire month of July.
Yeah, he was awesome in July, and then the Rangers get some tack-on runs in the eighth inning to really extend that lead and put this one out of reach. It had made it 6-1 before the Angels scored a couple runs in the bottom half of the inning. But this was all about Nate. This is not about the offense. It's about Nate Eovaldi, who was fantastic again, keeping his pitch count down again, and now you hope that you can ride him and Jake the rest of the way. Like that's just the reality they're facing. Today's the deadline. Got about 10 hours for that deadline to hit.
Bobby, what's been happening?
This is something that's been pretty frustrating. Is that you're hearing so many different teams that are involved on various relief pitchers that you want to get involved with, or the Mariners going and snatching bats from you. And so yesterday, Jeff Passan and Buster Olney had kind of a MLB trade deadline intel dump of like, here's everything that we're hearing. And it's pretty quiet right now on the trade front for the Rangers. There's not a lot of stuff that they're connecting Texas to other than just this would make sense. Not that they're hearing necessarily that they're in on a lot of different people. Passan noted that the number of teams who want a good relief pitchers this year is really high, so that's causing a premium to be placed on them. And that might keep Texas away from landing one of these guys if they don't want to drop a bunch of capital on a guy, prospect capital. Buster Olney said that the league being as wide open as it is has caused two teams, though, right next to each other, Seattle and Texas, to up their enthusiasm to make a trade. That those two looked at the landscape and went, all right, we can compete in here. Let's go. And so Texas has the enthusiasm, I guess, just like Seattle does. But Seattle's is matching it with moves that they've actually made right now. Texas is clearly in a spot right now where they're trying to figure out what matches with us in terms of money and prospects.
And that's, I mean, look, so Philly, for example, they got Duran. They gave up some coveted pieces, at least according to the minor league prospects site. That's good. That's what you got to do to get these guys. You're also overpaying at this point. Bullpen help is cheap in the offseason, and it's very expensive this time of year. So you're going to overpay for rentals. And sometimes that's okay. The Rangers obviously financially are in a position where they seem to at least want to keep the cost down as much as they possibly can and get out of the tax. Okay, this is the problem. Seattle is basically going all in on this year. They don't care if it's a rental, none of that. They're like, we have a chance. This thing is wide open. We've never made a World Series. Seattle's never been a World Series, so it's like, let's go for it.
And the A's are apparently talking about dealing Mason Miller. And they've talked with the Yankees, they've talked with the Phillies, they've talked with the Mets. It's like, I need to hear Texas associated with that trade.
I
don't know if the A's will trade within the division. They may not, but there's a history of it happening before. I look at that and I go, man, if Mason Miller's available and you're going to have to pay a premium regardless, that's the dude you do it for, who has 4 years of arbitration left. He throws 101 miles per hour. He's been like a legitimately dominant pitcher on his peripheral statistics for the last 3 years. That, to me, is the perfect type of player we're talking about.
It really is. I mean, it really is. If you can find a way to get him, again, you're going to get taxed to get Mason Miller, right? You'll probably pay a division tax to get him. But if you can, this is exactly the kind of guy you need to go get.
Humongous media news yesterday. ESPN cut ties with Shannon Sharpe. This is 2 weeks after he settled the lawsuit, which the ex-girlfriend accused him of rape. So he had not been on ESPN since late April. They declined to comment. And yesterday, the entire internet and world, including myself, laughing at Shannon Sharpe fumbling the bag. You lost a $100 million contract and $23 million in your cash settlement for an OnlyFans girl. Holy crap, what a rise and what a fall.
This is a $100 million deal he had?
Well, someone on the internet wrote that.
Oh, basically, so over the what he would make, yeah. I mean, look, for them to cut ties with someone on Stephen A's show, which you would think he can kind of, like, box out, protect you a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, that tells you how bad it may have been.
He must have been a massive liability to them. Like, they must have looked at everything and just went, there's way too much here. I can't imagine it's just what was out there publicly. And what was out there publicly was bad. Like, those phone calls that he recorded where he's like, I'm going to slap you in public and I'll do the, I'm not scared to do it. That's an egomaniac who probably deserved to have this happen. Even if it's not the specifics, that dude is clearly no fear of just, I'll talk to you however I want, and I will threaten you however I want because I'm untouchable.
Wow.
And to me, good. This was good news yesterday.
And I went and got this clip from his podcast with Monique, the comedian, and she tried to warn him about this.
Now I'm looking right at y'all. Let me tell y'all what Shannon needs.
Let me
tell you what my baby needs. He need him an old fat gal who can bake good cakes, make some smothered turkey wings, who gonna rub his feet at the nighttime, okay, and gonna have a sip of his cognac to make him feel better about himself when he come home at night. That's what Shannon needs. You don't need no 26-year-old girl. You don't need no 36-year-old girl. This is your auntie talking to you. Take your old ass and get your old bitch out there that can love you old. You trying to hang out with these young bitches, and you can't do it, Shannon. You just can't do it. Dang. When they want you to go for a fourth round, you're looking at her like, listen, I need you. You want some money to go to Starbucks?
Yeah,
because I can't go no further. But if you get your older girl, when you get to that fourth round, she's going to say, hold on. Let me go get you some eggs and cheese and some toast with apple butter, because that's going to get your energy back up.
So tried to warn him. He'd be sitting there with Ocho talking about, he goes, I don't want to date my age. I want to date my wage. That's what he would say with a clip yesterday. Shannon Sharpe had like taken over like this after leaving Skip Bayless. This was a meteoric rise.
Yeah.
With all the podcast offers and the deals. And
he became a sympathetic figure leaving Skip.
Yep.
And then
absolutely.
And then he comes out there and he could.
Maybe they can reunite.
It's
with Joy hosting.
Joy
Sharif.
Shan Sharif.
Yeah. Who's going to take up for us now when we get in a fight with Jerry?
Right.
That man, I still will never forget Shannon right after that clip played. And we're sitting there, we turn up the TV during the break. And Shannon's like, this man will be terrified to ever ask you a question again. That's what you've done. And you're sitting there, you're going like, no, I mean, calm down, Shannon.
I appreciate it, but
like, that's a little too much cover. I'm not a baby. Okay?
And then the internet said, everyone who works with Stephen A. Smith ends up getting arrested or fired. So there's Shannon Sharpe in trouble. This Marcus Morris casino fraud story is out there. He was on ESPN for a little bit, but Gilbert Arenas stole the show.
Dude, Gilbert Arenas, I just he could be going away for a very, very long time. He faces 15 years in jail for running like an illegal poker room game. It's pretty wild. So there's three things here in play. He rented out this Encino mansion that he owned for the purpose of hosting this high-stakes illegal poker game, right?
Love Encino, man.
So they would stage the mansion. He had some co-conspirators. There was Pot Limit Omaha. So that's a game, Pot Limit Omaha.
Omaha.
And other illegal games. So it's not illegal to host a game at your house. You could go host a poker game. But you can't take a rake. And what a rake is a percentage.
And you guys can play for money?
Yes.
Okay.
But you can't take a rake. And a rake is like, let's just say the ante is $10, okay? And a rake is...
I get a dollar of it.
You get a dollar from each person.
What's the matter? Why can't I?
Secretly, so like you're stealing it, or it's part of the
game? I can take your money in a card game, but I can't take money from everyone who's playing the card game that I'm hosting.
That makes you a casino. Okay. That makes you the house.
Okay.
Instead of just hosting a card game. Okay.
So dumb.
So that is.
But I can win the money in a room.
You can win the money in the room.
So what the federal government is telling us is that you shouldn't be able to. You shouldn't be allowed to take 10% of people's wages and keep it for yourself.
That's a different story.
Oh, okay. But,
and this is where it really gets bad for Gilbert. He also hired young women who, in exchange for tips, served drinks, provided massages, and then offered companionship to the players.
I love that.
And those women,
got a big pair of cans,
were charged a tax by Gilbert and the house. So that's it's not a prostitution ring, but you can see the prostitution ring from there.
Payne could see it from there.
Payne could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could see it from there, just across the Vancouver Bay. So he faces 5 years of prison for each count.
Yeah.
So it could up to 15 years.
He came dancing down the steps of the courthouse, though. He got out of jail, and he's like, I didn't run anything. He said, I'm back on the streets. This ain't got nothing to do with me. I just rented the house. Wasn't a part of it. So this was some Israeli, is it a crime person? I don't know. Five
he
other
has,
people?
He has co-conspirators.
Co-conspirators. Yeah. What do you think? You said he was real dumb.
This is pretty dumb, man. I mean, you know you can't take a rake. You know, you certainly can't take a tax from the women that are there.
Yeah.
Like, you're hiring them for their time. You can't just take a tax from them.
Yeah, he was hiring for their time.
Right.
I don't know that this would qualify as dumbest in the world. Maybe for him it would, because I guess what you're saying is this is obvious knowledge to anyone who would be in that sort of a world. But I wouldn't, if I'd like gone to a game and somebody was like, hey, this is what it is, I'd just be like, all right, I guess that's part of it. Like, I would have no idea that was illegal.
So there's people are bringing this up in the Fantex. That's a great movie. It's called Molly's Game. That's basically the same thing. She was hosting high stakes poker games and it got kind
of
out of hand.
Yeah, it was four associates and then this suspected high level member of an Israeli organized crime group. And Gilbert has gotten in trouble with cards before. It was a card game, December 2009, when him and Javaris Crittenton brought the guns into the locker room. I think there's a Netflix on that.
This is so funny. So he says, I just owned the house. I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's what he says. It's like, well, what is this Arenas Poker Club branded table that's in the house? He's like, that's not mine.
I don't know who that guy is.
Well, how did somebody...
CNN has that as part of the documents that I guess the
it literally part. Says Arenas yes, Poker
it's
Club.
It's an image of him in his zero jersey. Nope, that's not mine.
I just sold the house. I just, you know, these people are randomly
there.
They carried in card tables.
Yeah.
And prostitutes.
I just kept getting money coming in. I had no idea where it came from.
That's right.
I kept getting money funneled
You
in.
Think he'll go to jail for this?
He'll probably, if there's a Israeli crime, they're probably after that guy. They're probably after the crime syndicate dude.
Yeah,
that they'll do a plea with him.
877-881-1053. The way to hit us up on the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. It'll be Bobby and my wife's favorite interview of the entire week. It's Bobby's favorite interview on the Dallas Cowboys. Sitting down with us next here in Oxnard in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. The great CeeDee Lamb. You're not going to want to miss this next on Sean and RJ.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
All right, every single year, Bobby stresses to the Cowboys PR, let's get the most interesting man on the team with the interviews we've had over the seasons. CeeDee Lamb sitting down with us in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat on the Cowboys station, 105.3 The Fan. How was practice?
Practice was good. It didn't end well. The guys just
couldn't hold themselves together. Obviously, I'm a part of the team, so we couldn't hold ourselves together. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, with that, with the lack of disciplines comes the disciplinary actions. So yeah. We had the end of game. I mean, end of practice with running. And, I mean, that sucks, but you need that every now and then.
Yeah, how do you judge having the fire that you want versus the discipline?
It's a little bit of both. That's what the championship teams are made of, like, able to get to that line and never cross it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for us, we just got to be able to have that fire between the whistle, like, fight, literally. Do whatever you got to do to make the play and win your rep. But, like, once that play is over, bro, you should be over. You know what I'm saying? And myself included, even when I'm mad. And, I mean, that takes courage. That takes a lot of ego putting aside, and can't let a man get the best of you.
We've seen and discussed your maturation and leadership grow every single year. Do you feel like you have to go over and talk to whoever the guilty parties are every time, once in a while? How do you involve yourself in addressing it?
Nah, me now, obviously, coming into the league, everyone knows I wasn't big of a talker. But as we all know, I'm a lead by example guy, but just breaking myself out of that realm and being comfortable, being uncomfortable. So with that being said, I do have to go up there and talk to those guys every time, whoever it is. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I've done it for – this is my sixth year now, and I've seen a lot of ball, and I kind of got an understanding of how this NFL thing works. And for one, I also want these guys to keep money in their pockets and feed their families. So if there's anybody that know a thing about fines, they're looking at them.
Do you give them a code red?
Nah, it's just like, bro, just relax. I understand, like, you have to hit it a moment. Don't be mad at me either. But, like, because when you're mad, you don't want to be bothered by nobody. You know, you don't want really anyone to just tell you, like, at that point to chill or, like, relax. But, like, at that moment, that's when you're someone's needed the most to tell you that. Like, when you're at your most heated moment, are you able to control it? Like, are you able to hone it in just a little bit? And then some may not. Some, you know. Some are better than others, and I'll be oblivious to just be telling you guys that I'm good at it all the time.
Yeah.
Hell no, I'm not. Like, it's annoying, but it's some things you got to do.
Can penalties be coached? That's like a lifelong football debate.
It comes with discipline. So as far as it being coached, not necessarily, because what one see as a flag, the other may not, and then you never know. You may get a bad call in the game. You never know. You just got to prepare for the worst things. You know what I'm saying? And for us, if we can control the things like the combative fouls, that's perfectly fine. We're going to have to leave it in the hands of the ref. I mean, nobody ever wants to do that. But, like, if it comes down to it in a one-on-one battle in between the play, you wanna push that needle. Like,
CeeDee Lamb here on 105.3 The Fan. What has a Brian Schottenheimer training camp been like so far?
It's been funny. I mean, not funny. It's been fun. It's been funny as well, too, in the meeting rooms. But as far as work, man, he's all about work. He's all about getting everything done, getting it on tape, getting it done the right way and to his standard. And if it's not done to his standard, then we're going to keep repeating it. And I kind of like it because it gives us some structure. You know what I'm saying? It gives us some discipline. It gives us some rules to follow, some lanes to stay within. And I mean, talent has never been a problem for us. We have literally the most. That's why every interview I'm as confident as I am, because if you look at our roster, I mean, hey, you could put us up with anybody, and you'll be like, why? And then it comes to discipline. Like, we're putting ourselves second and 10, third and 10 when we could have been third and 2, third and 12, like things of that. Like, and you're in the league, bro. You're not going to just get every third and 12.
Yeah.
So they've been more intense and everything. Do they feel like more tiring? Like, are you more worn out after a practice this year as opposed to the previous couple years?
Not at all. And I can speak for myself. I would say I have more energy, essentially. Granted, the body of work is always going to be the body of work. Like, your body is going to be hurting after practice.
Yeah.
But as far as being tired, I mean, you're going to be fatigued. That's natural. You're human. But as far as getting on and off the field and then getting right into the meeting rooms and getting it corrected, I feel like this is night and day.
CeeDee, how much – you talk almost every offseason, it seems like, about the different things you've worked on with your game and things like that, stuff that you want to change. How much do you think you've changed, though, over the course of the last few years, just personally, in terms of your approach? We talked about the leadership stuff, but in terms of how you feel about the game, how you approach practices, how your work habits are, what part of that has changed for you?
Everything, honestly. And I feel like every year, it's a year of experience and it's a year of growth. So the things that I've learned last year, obviously coming in with my situation late and then going into play, I know, like, the things that I need to work on and my body had to adjust properly and the right certain type of treatments and certain type of meetings, certain type of workouts. Man, I've gotten better at taking care of my body and obviously exerting the energy in the right places and when I need to. So as for me, it's just staying available. Again, obviously, that's priority number one in all of my off-season builds as far as getting better. Just how much more can I be available for my team? Granted, I'm out there, but I probably was hurt. You never know. So, like, just kind of avoiding different things and then getting better, sharpening my hand-eye coordination, looking the ball in all the time, just literally fundamental things that I feel like are a tendency to forget because you're in the highest stage of football. So,
give us, as a wide receiver who can run all day, a week's worth of training of what you do running-wise. How do you just every year know out here day one that you can run all day? Doing what in the off season?
Every
just
week is cardio. Let's start there. Yeah. Every week is cardio. Every day of the week is cardio. So you're working out 5 days out the week, right? Because you don't want to kill yourself. Some go seven. I mean, shout out them. But I need my body to breathe. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going 5 days out the week. You do legs Monday, arms Tuesday. Then you have a Wednesday for recovery, a Wednesday for recovery. Thursday, same thing. Thursday, legs. Friday, arms. And then on top of both of those, you do that for an hour. You work out in a weight room for an hour, then you go out and do the field for like an hour and a half, whether it's agility movements, whether it's positional drills, whether it's straight line speed, whether it's the back end speed. So like that's four different things that I've given you that you can hit throughout the week. So just keeping my endurance up and obviously when in a game, because I never want to come out.
Yeah.
I'm just prepared for the worst.
And your cardio besides those drills is usually what? Per week, are you going outside running? Are you running on a treadmill?
I'm on a field. I'm on a real field.
Yeah.
So like the only way that you can prepare for football is being on a football field, honestly. And then I mean I do track workouts too because I feel like the endurance there is much different.
We keep asking, sorry Chop, in today's training camp, whether missing half of it has the effect. You went through that. Looking back on it, did it affect you?
I missed the whole thing, so it's different. Honestly, missing a whole camp, absolutely. Missing half of it, and your body has time to adjust. You know what I'm saying? You need about 2 weeks for your body to really fully adjust to like, oh, okay, we're playing ball now. Like, that's what we're doing? Okay. So you're going to have some soft tissue nicks that is literally going to be repaired in like 2 days. You take care of your body. You do whatever you got to do. You address it. And be like, oh, okay. So, like, I'm doing this now. And then now you get in the routine.
Do you think if they took camp, which I guess is what, 6 weeks?
And four to six, yeah.
Oh, and they cut it down to two. Do you think that would still work?
You'll be ready. You'll for sure be ready, and you'll be more antsy for sure. So, like, essentially that's like saying we will be done with camp after this week, which, I mean, I'm ready to go now, right? But I would say, like, as far as to get the things that you need, I give it, like, 3 weeks. Body preparation, understanding of assignments, installs, and then making sure that there are no hiccups. Mm-hmm. So I'll give about three to four.
How you guys go from no hitting, it's literally 0 to 120 week one.
Yeah.
Is your body, like, feel like it's in a car wreck after week one? How do you prepare yourself for the hitting?
That's what camp is for. That's what I'm saying.
You're
not going to hit each other, right? Yeah. But we got a thud tempo. So it's like a little pop, like, boom. And then you just run. Like, if that's all you need, I mean, the preparation as far as getting tackled is going to the ground, essentially. So I'm glad we're on grass. You know what I'm saying? It's a little more, Mother Nature is a lot more nicer to us than the turf is. But, I mean, hey, at the end of the day, you're playing ball. So get prepared for it. Prepare, like, mentally prepare for it. Put yourself in a position to play in a game. And overall, just go win.
So it's not holding on to the football. It's falling.
It's falling. That's how I got hurt. Because I kept falling on my shoulder. It's literally a technique to everything in football once you get to it.
What has jumped out to you about Coach Schottenheimer's offense?
The motioning, obviously, I love the motioning. We motion every single play, literally every single play. And then when he gets tired, like not tired, when he gets bored with seeing the same motion, he gets creative and be like, all right, let's do this type of motion. You know what I'm saying?
And just what does that do for you?
Get a read for the defense, just see what they in. I mean, it's some motions that they can just stay in their zone and then go man, and there's some motions where they got to respect it. You know what I'm saying? So for Shadi, it's just getting a quicker look, essentially, on the offense as to what they're planning and then nothing being truthful to what their leverage.
And route-wise, it's not like, all right, this coach doesn't believe in crossing routes, and this coach likes the dig routes more. I mean, all the route, the total route tree is open and available.
Everything is open, and that's a fun part for us because, I mean, routes that we've never ran before, we get excited to run and see how we look. And once we complete it, that makes it more exciting because now we can't wait to run it in the game. You know, so just having us on our toes and always excited for more, I feel like that's the best thing for us as receivers. And then getting us available and in position to make plays and be impactful on the offense.
CD, you know, you the big talk this year has been about culture, and I know that's something that you talked about up here on the podium earlier, just like how important that is. Entering year six now, when fans wonder, like, what impact does that have, is there a game or a season you've played in during your career where you said culture made the difference in a win or a loss that you can remember where you're like, that was where culture had an impact for us,
Lions,
in a good or bad
2023.
Way?
Lions in 2023. That was a heavyweight battle, as we all know. It was a Sunday night game. We had a lot of things going on. Man, it was a big game for us, and it was packed, and the fans were literally there early. They had us rocking. They got the momentum going. I don't think the crowd really understands the impact that they make on us, but obviously as far as the preparation go in, we're confident, right? But then when you have your fans behind you, and these guys are in enemy territory, they don't know what to expect. All they got is themselves.
Yeah.
So for us, it's like, man, we got the whole city with us. You know what I'm saying? Like, they feeding off our energy. Let's get them routed up. Like, let's get them excited. Let's give them something to look forward to. And then the first touchdown I had was 92 yards. That was like, yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
I'm in the league now.
CeeDee Lamb here on The Fan. You have made us feel a lot better and comfortable and excited about Pickens because you guys have, boom, just like that.
Immediately.
Why?
Man, that's my dog. He's just having that energy, understanding what's going on, like what's his situation, what's my situation, and what we both want out of each other. I want him to continue to be GP, and he wants me to continue to be CD. So,
like, did you know him before in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I did. I did. We chopped it up a couple of times, but that, not even knowing what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's the beauty in all of it because, like, we've chopped it up just on some, like, bro, I like your energy. You know what I'm saying? You good. You genuine. You nice at ball. Like, it's – like, what's up? You all right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then immediately, like, boom, he's on the same team. And now we get to get into it on a deeper level, just understanding each other, what's his why, like what he like to do, what he don't like to do. You know what I'm saying? And really get to understand George for who he is and not as a ball player because I know what he brings on the field. So
his criticisms may be a little similar to the only thing we talk about with you is the sideline passion, right? Our understanding is George wants to win so bad he wants the ball,
right?
And then he's going to get frustrated.
Right.
You're emerging as a leader. Sometimes we'll see you frustrated, and we went through this with Dez. How do you? What's the balance between I want it so bad versus, all right, is this a sideline blow up that the cameras are catching? Because you've addressed a lot.
It's different. It's different, man. Every wide receiver one, man, I don't care who you are. If they're not getting the ball, you tell me how they're going to look on that sideline. I don't care who you think is the most genuine wide receiver one. Let him not get the ball all game or whatever, the extended amount of time and he's not involved. Like, you tell me what is it. That's like you going to work and not getting no action. Literally, it's like, okay, well, I'm just sitting here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want, especially as an offense, obviously you understand as a group, like, offense as a group, we all look bad as a group. Okay, so if I'm going to look bad as a group with the group, let me look bad too. Like, I want to, I haven't done anything to, like, because now, so now I feel like I'm excluded. Now things aren't going my way. Like, it's just dumb things that just go through your mind. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to help the team.
Yeah.
That's literally the first thing first. Like, let me help the team. Like, how can I help the team? All right, I'm going to go block the safety. Boom. We get a negative run. Now, it's just not, like, what else? Can I help? Like, I literally want to help. But, like, as far as being on the sideline, the best thing that we can do is keep our composure because the camera's always on. Like, it's always on you. I've been on the sideline 100 million times, and the one time that I crash out, it's caught on camera. So, it's just keeping your composure together. I'll be there to tell them and guide them the whole way, but I'm sure we know we won't have that problem this year.
Do you think – you're always open?
I know I'm always open. It's a difference. I know that. I know that.
You were talking about you've gone through the contract drama yourself. How do you keep it from getting personal when the words are exchanged and the things are said? Mm-hmm. How do you keep it? How do you prevent it from getting personal?
At the end goal, you gotta think about the end goal. You gotta understand why are you in this situation? Because you made it tough on them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it would have been easy if they could have just threw a number at us and then we'd have been okay with it. But, like, obviously when you outplay your contract and you outplay and you outdo a lot of different things that no one expects you to do. Granted, the expectation is always high, right? Especially in the first round. Like, okay, I drafted you in the first round. I expect you to be good. You know what I'm saying? But when you get an elite pick with your first round, like, all right, you got to start taking that in consideration after, like, the first couple years. Because, like, the first year you'd be like, all right, okay, cool. But once they do it again, you're like, oh, snap, I might have got something.
Yeah.
Then they do it again. It's like, okay. Now you got to start thinking about, like, financially how we're going to make this happen. Because you can't let a guy like that go. I'm going to be honest. And as far as getting personal, man, you just got to take it with a grain of salt. It sucked. I took some things personal, too, and I hated it. I'm going to be honest. I'm not just going to sit here and act like nothing was personal to me because it was.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's it's crazy.
All right. Before we let you go.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Go. We have kind of a personal issue with you because we think our wives kind of like have a sports crush on you, you know, but they think that just he's got great style. That's what they say.
For sure.
Style and all this and that. So we're not big ballers like you. So we're each going to give you $300 and you got to take us shopping to improve our style. $300. That's cool. The budget we're working with.
That's cool.
Where are we going?
See, why, what do you get? Why are you putting me on a spot right now?
You're Mr. Fashion.
Okay, well, dang. I don't know.
Improve our style for our women so they can stop talking about you.
I wish you would have told me that, like, before.
Isn't that even overwhelming, just looking at us? You're like, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
it's just like I'm thinking of the clothes that I can just, like
I want to see if you know how to shop with $300 versus, you know, 30K.
Yeah, nah, I'm right at, like, the 5K range.
No.
All right, the jury don't count.
What are we getting for? Give us a store.
I mean, $300. I don't know. I had to think about that.
He's really stressing over it. Really stressing. Well, that's no help. You didn't up our style whatsoever. So that's what we're looking to get out of it. The great CeeDee Lamb sitting down with us in the Wild Pork Foods hot seat. We love talking to you, man. Keep killing it and have a good season. We'll catch up
for
with
sure.
you.
Sure. Appreciate you guys.
There he is, CeeDee Lamb on 105.3 The Fan.
So good. So good. And he couldn't even begin. He's so rich. He couldn't even begin to think how to shop with $300.
I know. I don't know. I
mean, $300.
Yeah. It's a low number for him. I mean, he buys baseball hats that are $300.
Oh, yeah.
He looked at first like he was like, I can do this. Like, you could see on his face. He's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. $300. And then we started thinking about it. He was like... My socks are $300.
Yeah, he didn't want to out you for wearing purple with red. He didn't
want to
say that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That alone, I think that was... I should have come down more slobbed up is what I should have done. What?
The Tolos are pointing it out.
What?
Forgot the brisket sando.
We did.
No brisket sando question.
To be fair... The last 6 minutes of that, we were feeling kind of like, I think we're going to have to rush him off because PR very much was standing there looking like, we got to get him to a podium. And so we're just like, let's try and fit in one more.
And then you guys were
brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
And then you guys were arguing over the code red.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he clearly had no idea what that reference was. And
I think it's just a normal part of lexicon.
It has become a normal part of lexicon because of the movie A Few Good Men.
Okay.
That's why it's become common.
That it's normal part of lexicon.
But it's become common for that era that saw that movie. And I've seen that movie. So I know what that means. But that's it. And then when
you were trying to say that RJ brought up a reference that no way CeeDee would know because of his age.
Right. Like that was going to be greeted.
And RJ's trying to say that, no, Code Red is just Code Red.
It's Code Red.
It's not, no. Doesn't need to come from the movie.
Which, by the way, when I asked him to say, like, well, what is Code Red? Then he, like, misdefined it. And he's
but
like,
I didn't misdefine it.
Like,
I mean,
no, that's not what it means. That's not what you were using.
I didn't misdefine it. I was just saying, like, you know, everybody knows what that is.
Peyton, what's a Code Red?
It's from a movie you guys just talked about.
What does it mean?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Age is not an excuse.
High alert, I think.
Age is not an excuse to not know reference.
Okay, but again, that's not... Peyton, if I said, you want the truth, you can't what?
You can't get the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. A massive movie quote, yes, you should know that. You can't handle the truth, CD should know. He should be familiar with that. A plot device within A Few Good
Listen,
Men
if I say
40 years ago?
If I say he's going to go pull himself a Fredo, you don't have an excuse to not know what that means.
I don't think anyone who's under 35 knows what that means.
Yeah, that's not an excuse. Again, age is an excuse.
877-881-1053 for the comments on the CeeDee Lamb interview on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line to hit us up here on Sean and RJ. We're commercial free with the Expressway. What?
The fan text just at like three in a row. Code Red's Mountain Dew flavor. That's what people under 35 think.
Big Red.
No, there's Mountain Dew Code Red. Again, age is not an excuse not to know Mountain Dew Code Red. Chop.
No, and age is an excuse. Who drinks Mountain Dew?
I mean, not consistently. I like one here and there.
Okay.
I love them here and there, even though the myths out there are what they used to say. But I don't need to have any more kids.
Yeah. That's true. You can just go ahead and do that. No, yeah, you can't.
Can't have any more kids.
Turns out you didn't need it, by the way. They've now said that male birth control is safe and effective for humans. So they've tried it out on some mice.
I ain't taking that.
And they say, this stuff works.
Why?
Just threw something at me.
Why wouldn't you take it?
Oh, I need 30 years of data on side effects. I'm not doing that.
Oh. Okay.
I've done my one...
But you have alcohol data on all the side effects, but you drink like a fish.
Well, it's a different story.
Why?
It's fun.
Well, you know what wouldn't be fun? Having a kid at 45.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
Are you kidding? All right, fair. Would you rather be...
Can't get pregnant there, though.
Would you rather have a 10% chance of pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
go get snipped like me and Chia follow, or take the pill?
Well, I would rather. I can't get snipped. Okay. I don't believe in that.
What do you mean you don't believe in it? What the hell does that mean?
I just, you know, I feel like I shouldn't take away my ability.
Okay.
You
know, I hope you get pregnant. I hope you have an accidental child.
I mean, that's a risk. That's part of the risk.
Yeah.
I have an accidental child too.
It's not about you.
Yeah, it's not about you.
We're talking ball over here. We're talking balls. 877.
Y'all are balls knowers.
877-881-1053. Frank LaFranco, injury attorney, text on to hit us up here on DFW Sports Station. We have Hulk Hogan's funeral. We have Happy Gilmore numbers. And we have the forgetting of Eric Chiafalo.
Oh,
we could
gosh.
Put that in worst take if you wanted. Or whether you think we have to talk about it right now, Bobby.
I mean, we could do it. We could do that worst take. Or, I mean, if you want to do it now, too, I think it's hilarious.
This is from dinner the other night.
Still am trying to find more evidence of it. I mean, we've already got some. But we're at dinner the other night at Cafe Fiore, and Eric's just talking about his time as an intern. And Sean and RJ are like, well, where did you intern? And he's like, at the station. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. And they're like, what show did you intern for? And he's like, you guys. And Choppy was so, you both were like, no, you didn't. But Choppy was so just like refusing to like, nope, didn't. Yeah. I think you eventually came around to believing he probably did and you just forgot him.
Yeah, I totally forgot him. But the only thing I remember about Eric is producing or board hopping one time and getting snippy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And
yeah, because I remember calling him White Claw. But that was when he was working here full time.
So this would have been 2017, and the first half of the summer, you guys had someone named Summer interning for you.
I remember the name Summer.
Yes,
I remember the name Summer. I don't remember the person Summer.
So yeah, and I don't know if it's just because he had the long hair. You guys saw one day, you're like, Summer got ugly over the weekend, and just like thought she all of a sudden looked like Eric. But Eric had done it apparently for like 6 weeks. He said he was in here two times a week. He said he would sit in the studio with you guys. And you guys were like, nope, didn't happen.
He might have been in the studio like, first off, no intern. I don't remember interns like sitting in the studio with us.
Either.
They sit in the back with Troy.
We were too busy.
I sat in the studio with you guys when I interned.
And you guys don't remember that either?
For how often?
Oh, this was, yeah, twice a week for, yeah, because it was 6 weeks with every show.
No.
We've brought this up before. No, you guys didn't. Had no idea that I interned for y'all.
But,
because I was sitting in Bobby's seat.
No.
But where in the studio?
In Bobby's seat, because I was to the right of Roy.
The whole show?
Yes, the whole show.
No, you didn't.
I swear.
No, you didn't.
I got here at 5 o'clock.
Do you have pictures?
I would never have wanted anyone to sit in the studio with us the
whole
time.
You let me talk on air.
Yeah, maybe randomly. No. You probably talk once or twice.
How did he do it, though, if he wasn't in the studio? You thought Troy would let me get out of the way?
No, there's a difference between coming in to pop on the air and just sitting in that room for the entire show. I don't believe it either.
You guys had me do the top seven for like a week straight, a couple weeks, I believe, four times. You guys had me do the top
probably seven.
I can see that.
Look,
this is what was great about this was even after you had come around, because the proof point for you was he said you made Roy tweet out the segments and he would tag me in them.
Yeah,
and we found the old tags that he had done like from like 2017.
And it's 6 weeks, even an internship.
You remember summer? Summer was 6 weeks. Y'all remembered
maybe,
her.
Maybe, we remember the name. Remember the name.
The name. Yeah.
The name.
I remember. Who else did you say did it? Zero. This is 15 years.
I remember Zero. Yeah. I remember Zero.
I remember Zero because of the bit y'all did where he had dropped the condom wrapper on the floor and you guys made it so that he had to do an abstinence.
Yes. I remember Shippy.
I don't remember Shippy interning. Look, it's
we
not
did
a great
bit with him too.
It's obviously not a great look. I know what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to make it seem like we're all important and completely dismissive of the peons and the little people.
Y'all don't remember I interned for you.
I reserved the right.
I did.
The moment.
Did you?
Yeah. Are you being serious now?
Shut up, Bobby.
Yeah, I don't remember.
No. Hold on.
Bobby, shut up. I'm not falling for your stupid prank.
No, are you being serious now?
What?
Like, this has come up. You don't remember either?
Bobby, shut up. You didn't intern for us.
Yes, I did.
I definitely don't remember. I don't remember anything that happened during my divorce. If it happened during then, it's a blank space. It's a blind spot. So, like, 2014 to 2017.
Yeah.
If it happened in there, I reserve the right to not.
And you know what my saying is? If I don't remember you, be more memorable.
But I also
step up your game, Cheech. Step up your game, Pepe.
I did. You saw the tags and you went, okay, you did. And I just didn't remember it. Choppy still didn't believe. And then it got to the point where Eric was like, I remember you standing outside the double doors, like ripping heaters. And then Choppy's like, I did used to do that. How did you know that? And he's like, because I saw you. I was there.
He could have been Troy's intern.
But you just act like he, like, did David blamed you or something. And you were just like, oh my God, how do you know this?
He could have been Troy's intern coming in. You know, in the morning, just sitting in Troy's room.
This is not fair to be judged off intern memory for a morning show.
But the three people who ended up working, the three people who ended up working.
I told you, I remember Zero and I remember Shippy because of the bits we did with them. Shippy did that.
You don't remember me, you don't remember Eric.
Huh?
But you don't remember me, you don't remember Eric.
Well, you didn't intern with us.
Yes, I did.
Do you have any guilt over...
I don't know where you're going with this, but the answer's no.
Only RJ could just say no.
No,
I don't have any. I didn't even finish the sentence.
Doesn't matter what it is.
I didn't even ask the question. There's just zero guilt whatsoever. Yeah, there's one kid who worked on KNC at night, and God, he acts like a little bitch. And he just whiny and crying. He's like, oh, this is how you were when I was there, and da da da. Well, first off, Kevin and Corey, and Kevin will tell you this, was a little jerk. Not a little jerk. He was trying to pick fights all the time at night. They're always trying to troll me and this and that. So I would go. So yeah, obviously I did not like. But I don't have. If I said anything to you, it was probably about not having an audio cut. That's what Walchuk said. He's like, yeah, you came in and said I was messing up something. Like, look, man, no one. I have no guilt. You can't try to sit there and get on me about it. I'm gonna buy you a drink and dinner if you do good, and if not, I'm gonna tell you you're not doing good. That's the way it is. So that's reality. That's how I know I always operate. So if I yelled at you, or if I said something, then you deserved it.
FAO, baby.
For me, it's
did
like,
I ever yell at you, Peyton?
Never. You've never yelled at me.
No, back in the day.
No, you didn't yell at me.
You never yelled at him. He fell.
That's what
you,
I probably didn't
yell
like
at Roy for not yelling at me, I think.
Yeah, I would yell at Roy.
940 Peyton is right. I remember Peyton.
Yeah, the Tolos can probably remember.
Yeah, 817. Y'all don't remember me interning with y'all. What's this need? We're the 469. Are the interns even allowed to look at you guys or speak to you like Ellen?
No, but Choppy just sunned Ruben here. He put up, get on the fan cam. And Choppy does this a little
bit. He did this last year.
Well, I mean, I don't want to.
You're a little power trippy. People may think it's me. You get a little power trippy. You call people and you're like, go get this from the team store. Like, go get this from that store. And RJ raised his coffee cup and like went like that to Ruben. But he was serious. He wasn't joking. He was like serious. Like, go get me a refill.
Yeah, go get me the coffee. Words. He just wanted to.
Yeah. I might not be talkative at 5, 6 in the morning, or I'm not going to go in the back like Bobby does, because, you know, I actually have to, like, schedule the show and not just goof off in the back room. But Bobby will pop in and go mess with people. I either, like, just didn't engage a ton, but I'm not yelling. I'm not going to go off on interns. So
I think it's a good idea. I think we need to collect all the images of the interns you guys have ever had and then mix them with 8 images of people who you have never seen in your life and make you pick out the ones who actually intern.
That's a good one.
It's like at a bar one time, my famous story is this guy, like, I worked at the station and I worked these events and stood at the gift table and I was like, I'm going to be honest here. Instead of fake it, I'm going to tell you I don't remember. And he wrote me this big DM about how inconsiderate and da-da. I was like, shut up. Be more memorable. Do something that would cause me to remember you. Get out of here.
I'm very memorable. You don't remember me doing it, so.
Listen, I don't take, I don't blame myself for.
If you interned, you wouldn't be here because you would have been too annoying. I never would have let them hire you.
That is not true. This was back before I had any sort of. I played the game and I was willing to just like quietly sit there and do what I was told.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
We didn't look at your. We didn't listen to your podcast. Your Mavericks looking for some revenge. And say, we got to hire that. Yeah, we got to get that guy in here.
You're the only ones not listening, apparently, when you look at the numbers.
877-881-1053. So that's Chiafalo and his supposed morning show internship. By the way, the numbers coming in for, I don't even know if it's overrated at this point because so many people have crapped on it, as they should have. Happy Gilmore 2, Pepe, generated 46.7 million views in 3 days. Biggest U.S. opening weekend ever for a Netflix film.
Wow.
For a Netflix film, 46.5 million.
Yeah, it's like a Cowboys game. All hype, you know, and then a little let down there. So
Whoa.
Is that Netflix saying, dude, trust me? Like, we had this many people watch it. Like, that's what it is. Like, how does anybody verify that?
Well, I mean, it's take it with the reward, I guess.
6.3 IMDb rating. That's what it has right now.
And so, what did I give it? 6.5.
Yeah, but 6, generally I would think that.
In the 6s is good.
That's 6.9 yeah, generally was 6 mine. And above is considered, like, decent.
What'd you say, Peyton?
6.9 was my rating.
Oh, I thought it was your mom's rating.
Oh, it's certified fresh, or it's got a
certified fresh.
It's got a fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 62% positive reviews.
6.7.
What does it mean when it's fresh?
So basically, it means like critics agree this is a good movie.
Well, to me, a 6.5.
If you're dating a 6,
that's not impressive. I'd never brag about that.
What if somebody called you a 6?
I wouldn't feel totally insulted, but I wouldn't take it as a compliment. I'm just saying, okay, you're saying I'm not ugly. But you're not saying I'm attractive.
If Portnoy said 6.5 for a slice, what would you think?
I would never run out to get that slice.
But you would eat it at some point if you were just driving by.
I would eat it.
Yeah, like, you would never run to get it.
If I was sitting on this flight on the way back, I'd put it on to see. But it's not a good movie. Let me just be blunt. Instead of playing all these decimal games, it's not a good movie. It's not a fun. It has some funny parts, but it should have been a lot funnier, in my opinion, which is right. 877-881-1053.
Can't be wrong.
Let us know here on DFW Sports Station with Sean and RJ. Tom Brady going after Peyton Manning and DFW's very own around the rest of the NFL live from training camp here on the Fan.